sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
You cannot talk. Episode 203. 700 children. Lock and load your gun where I'm from. The third world, son. Been to many places, but I'm third world born. Gorillas hit and run where I'm from, the third world, son. You polluted everything, and now the third world's gone. The water is poison where I'm from, the third world, son. 700 children
message
died by the end of this song. Revolution will come where I'm from, the third world, son. Constant occupation leaves the third world torn. Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. Before I begin with the show, I need to inform all you listeners that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's your blizz up in this bitch? Who's your blizz up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on September 15, 2024. Let me be specific. On Sunday, September 15, 2024, at 8:48 p.m., past my curfew. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Yeah, man. Okay. Sorry, man. My throat feels like it needs to get settled, but I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to do this. Yeah, like I mentioned, I'm off to a good start, off to a late start, but better late than never, I guess. All right, continue with tradition, I like to send a special shout out and to all you returning listeners. And also send another shout out where I want to point out all you new listeners, all right? You are welcome to the sanctuary. Yay! Now, for you new listeners, just to help you get more familiar with my podcast or how I do an episode, is I like to break down my episodes into three parts. The first part, actually, parts that I prefer to call, that I choose to call acts. Because, you know, it's chicks dig it. All right. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act, the final act, is final thoughts. Okay. I'm hoping the title, the name of the act are self-explanatory, but I'm open to criticism. Excuse me. Seriously. There's a demon that's trying to get out. All right. And all right. Yes. So far, also, just in the intro, so far, what you've heard is the theme song followed by today, the title of today's episode, some poetry, and a salutation and a disclaimer, you know, for white people. A disclaimer of the kind of podcast you're listening to, you know, especially for white people. You know, we might make you feel uncomfortable if you suffer from white fragility. All right, where was I? Yes, another thing I like to do, so in the intro, is share some thoughts and quotes. But before I do that, I want to, stick to that. Stick to the script, be black. Yes, quotes. And the first one goes, that's not the one. Oh, man. Hold on a second. Oh, sorry. Okay. The first one goes, all right, I just clicked on the wrong link. Stay away from people who think you're arguing every time you try to express yourself. That's deep. Deeper than Atlantis. Deeper than the seafloor. Traveled by the Mantis. All right. Okay. And the second quote, which I should point out that the poetry and today's title will all be related to the final thoughts. Okay. All right. The quote goes like this. And it goes, capitalism is uniquely innovative economic and political system because it takes the worst traits of humanity and reflects them back on us as virtues. Sociopathic behavior is rewarded. Empathy is punished. Nice. All right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, yeah, I'm thinking about the debate between liberals and Democrats and Republicans in the United States, conservatives and liberals in Canada, and I bet you if you hear this shit, you're like, yeah, oh, this is a commie podcast. You one of them bleeding hearts liberals, and I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? I think it's a shame that criticizing obvious shit about capitalism, and all of a sudden you're in a box. I mean, it's not, you know, okay, whatever. All right, this concludes the intro. Let's jump to news and random thoughts, all right? Okay, yo, I'm kind of out of it right now, man. I don't know. I'm not feeling like I'm... I feel like my brain is like not cooperating with me right now, but bear with me, all right? Okay, hold on. Maybe this will help. A bit of H2O. All right, news and random thoughts. Okay. First, like the title says, I'll be sharing some news or some random thoughts. If you this is like equivalent to, if you listen to the Blackout Tip, this is equivalent to banter, except, like I said, my banter involves news and random thoughts. All right, okay, so we go. First things first is I need to acknowledge, what are we, September 15th? We are 2 days past of the death anniversary of Tupac Shakur, Tupac Machiavelli the Don, and he died at, oh, wow. 1996, 4:03 p.m. Yeah, I guess he was declared dead. Tupac Amar Shakur passed away at the age of 25. 28 years later, Tupac's name is still being spoken about and will continue for many generations to come. Amen. We still ain't mad at you for leaving us outlaws for life. How old were you when he left us? Sorry, I was reading a tweet from Tupac Unlimited. And, I'm a Tupac stan, if you can't tell. How old was I in 1996? I was, didn't prepare to do any math. I think I was, wait a minute. I can do it in my head. 21? No, that doesn't make sense. 75. Which means, yeah, I'm spilling out math right now. I was 21. No, I wasn't 16. 21, holy shit. Folks, okay, I think I'm hungover, man. Yeah, 21. Holy shit, I don't know why I'm doubting with myself. Hold on. Right. 21. Oh, shit. Yeah, I gotta work on my... Oh, my God. Whew, my chest is filled. Okay. All right. Tough it up, E-Black. Okay, where was I? Yeah. Tupac and the death anniversary. Mourn you till we join you, Brother Pac. Okay. What else I got? Okay. I need to give myself one of these. Why? Because I made stir fry over the weekend. folks, learn to celebrate your small victories. And it's not just the fact that I made stir fry, but I said over the weekend yesterday, and it didn't suck. It was really like I enjoyed it, and it's kind of like I feel like I'm developing more confidence in my own skills. Who am I kidding? I mean. Cooking for myself is one thing. Cooking for others, it's not. Like, I'm still at the phase that if I were to cook for others and someone would be like, this is delicious, I'd be like, yeah, you're bullshitting. But anyway, whatever. I made stir fry, and it was not too bad. It's not my first time that I made stir fry, but it's more the fact that I didn't really follow any instructions. Okay, I did, but I remixed it because I didn't have all the ingredients. Whatever, okay, all right. That's what I did. Accomplishment. Check this off. Adding that to my resume. Next. You know, I was at the Home Depot earlier today on the Sabbath day. Yes, I was shopping on the Sabbath day, the day of the Sabbath. And I don't know. There's something about, I was buying a fan because the fan I have in my bedroom broke down. And I don't know, this fan doesn't feel, whatever. But I noticed I was there, and there's something about noticing all the pickup trucks and noticing all the men there in their construction boots, and I found myself thinking, damn, I was going through that. My mind was going into the wishing I was anyone but myself phase. I have this thing of when I see men in Home Depot, I automatically assume and say, yeah, there's some real men. There's some real masculine shit right there. I think what it is, I have this, I'm self-conscious about the fact that I'm not very good with my hands. I probably am, but I convince myself that I'm not. But that's it. Yeah, just I was at Home Depot. Felt the need to share that thought. And even though it's self-deprecating as a motherfucker. All right, yeah. You know, I think what it is a very long time ago, I was talking to this girl who I think I was trying to pick up. And I think we were probably some phone dating site. But my point is, where I was going with this is she was pointing out how the first thing she notices are men's hands. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. And and that's because I don't work with my hands. And it's like, yeah, no, rugged hands. And ever since then, I've been self-conscious about the fact that I got keyboard hands. Yeah. All right. Okay. Next up. Yo, fucking Netflix, man. I feel like Netflix has been paying attention. I feel like Netflix. Okay, this is Netflix. Has been reading my mind and has been going, yo, we need to step up our game because we're going to lose B-Black as a customer. See, the thing is, I subscribe to Netflix because they're the original to ever do it, and I have a certain loyalty to them, even though they put on bullshit shows like comedians I don't like. It doesn't matter, whatever, man. But there's something about Netflix that I feel the need to be loyal to, but while at the same time, I was considering jumping ship because fuck, I was barely watching anything on there. Anyways, I guess they must have heard my thoughts because this is a long setup just to say that two shows that I finished watching and that I really thoroughly enjoy and want to send out a shout out to Netflix for getting their shit together. The first one is Chaos. How would I describe Chaos? I don't know. The way I described it to a friend, I would say, look, if you're into Greek mythology, take Greek mythology combined with modern day folks. I don't know how to describe it. All I can say is 8 episodes, and they were dope. They kept my attention, and I enjoyed it. Especially the, you know what it reminded me a bit? It reminded me a bit of True Blood, in a sense that they incorporated mythology in a modern day setting. Yeah. The second show that I enjoyed, and it was Rebel Ridge. Now, this is a show that if I describe it, I'm worried I'm going to spoil it, so I won't. But I am going to say that when I saw the trailer, I was impressed. Because it was a black guy being arrested, getting pulled over by some cops over some bullshit. And, I remember, okay, the trailer had my attention, but I'm like, yeah, no way. No way a black guy. Whoops. Yeah, I think I can leak this part, is that no way they're going to make a show about a black guy killing cops. No fucking way. And to my surprise, let's just say he's like Batman type of thing. He's got a Batman-ish to it. Like he's fucking up cops, that's for sure. But anyways, all this to say, I enjoyed it. I remember being worried about how it was going to end, but I wasn't mad at the ending. I was not mad. I mean, I would have enjoyed a show about a black dude killing cops, especially crooked cops. Fuck it. Pull a bullet in the temple. But yeah. But no, Netflix won't let... I mean, we're not ready for that yet. I think a show about a black guy killing cops would be equivalent to Sidney Poitier slapping a white man. It would shock the world. It's like, whoa, 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 what the fuck? For those who don't know, let me Google the name of the movie where Sidney Poitier slap white man. In the Heat of the Night, that's the name of the movie. Yeah. And I was told it was a big deal back in those days. So yeah, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm sure it was a Klan rally that night. Okay, so shout out to Netflix. Next. All right, okay, I'm going to play this. This is a clip of LeVar Burton speaking to Lawrence Fishburne about how he kept his chains from Roots. You know what? Let me just play it. It'll sound better for coming out from him. Here we go.
Things I wore in Roots, mm-hmm. I keep them over the hearth. In my living room, right above my 12 Emmys. What is that about?
I don't know. What is it to you?
America first met me as Kunta Kinte, a young African kid who was kidnapped, tortured, refused his slave name. Then I read to their children and maintained the integrity of their favorite spaceship. Pretty soon, people began to think of me as safe.
Oh, the safest.
Once I read Go the Fuck to Sleep for charity.
Yeah.
One of my brand partners dropped me.
What? You can't even say fuck?
I can, but there are consequences. I said fuck. I lost money.
Shit.
If I showed how angry I really am, but I'm not gonna hide it. So I keep my chains on the wall in the living room. I want my guests to know, while I am unquestionably their friend, I am also absolutely filled with rage.
In case you missed it, it starts, you know the chains I wore in Roots? It says, yeah. Anyway, what got my attention about is the last part, about how he's absolutely filled with rage. I've talked about this before, about how I grew up with white kids, and it's only now that I recognize how damaging some of it was. Yeah, the damaging effect that it had on me. Now, this is, I'm not trying to get into a debate with other black people. Are you trying to say growing up with white people is fucked up? I'm saying, look, I'm talking about my story. And okay, so combine the fact that I'm a highly sensitive person, but at the time I was in denial of the fact that I was a highly sensitive person. So that rage for me, I was also absolutely filled with rage. That rage for me was there, but it was like I had being surrounded by white kids, it made it difficult to manage it because I couldn't acknowledge it. There was this unwritten rule about, hey, the white people's comfort take priority over yours. So whatever the fuck you need to do to not make them nervous around you, you do that shit. So the rage was there, but I didn't have the words, the way, it was just, I couldn't acknowledge it. And when I did, it came off, I think that's when I ended up like in the pro-black movement. I would go to one side of the pendulum. But it did make me realize, it did make me question as an adult. Not growing up, but as an adult. Because now the past is the past, but now it's now made me realize that we can talk that we're all the same shit, but if you're white and I can't, and I repress that rage around you, we're not actual friends. And that's what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like a guide to to white people. If you're black friend, if you don't know what code switching is, then you're not really friends with your black friend. Or your black friend is a phony. So yeah, if I code switch in front of you, we're not friends. If I repress my rage, the rage that's inside, not, you know, we're not friends. And when I say repress, I don't mean that I go around, take that, whitey. It's, I can't, when shit happens, my first instinct is to calm the fuck down. Is I don't talk about it. And, I'm having difficulty explaining or understanding the point that I'm trying to make, except for, I love how he says that, even though I am unquestionably your friend, I am filled with rage. It's like, with me comes that rage. And what does that mean? I'm thinking about this one time I was trying to have a frank conversation about race with a white person. And I tried to talk about that rage. The person I was talking to understood empathy. She knew how to empathize. But when it came to my blackness, that was her handicap. Is that the word I want to use? I remember saying, an incident happened to me, and I was talking about how I'm just angry, how it made me feel, and her first thought was, well, you're going to have to put that rage in check. It's like, bitch, I know that shit. It felt more like I was making her scared. She didn't get it. That's my point. The bottom line, she didn't get it. And I remember as soon as I said she didn't get it, then I went back into hiding into, okay, let me show you the image of myself you want to see, white lady. But yeah, anyway, yeah. And also, that same rage is also the reason why I made sure this time around when I looked for a therapist to find a black one, because under no goddamn circumstance, there's no fucking way I'm paying a therapist and I have to protect them from my rage. I feel the need to explain what I mean by rage, but I'm thinking black folks get it. And I don't know how to draw the picture, explain it to white folks. I'm just, at this point, I'm just, holla if you hear me. This is what I'm, it's one of those holla if you hear me type of statement. Yeah, I don't know how to explain this one. But it is what it is. All right, okay. What else do I got on the agenda? Last but not least. Yeah, keep the chains. Oh, last but not least, I said, okay, I did not know she was Haitian. The press secretary for the Bush and Harris administration. Hold on. First, I'm going to play something that she said and acknowledge. Oh, right. Okay. Excuse me. Ooh, Jesus Christ. Karine Jean-Pierre. That's her name? Karine. I'm pronouncing it. Okay. Yeah, that's her name. Karine Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary. I had no idea she was Haitian. Hold on a second. What? Port de France. Oh no, Martinican. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Hold on, now I gotta read this. Okay, I'm just pulling up her Wikipedia entry. Jean-Pierre was born. Son nom, c'est Jean-Pierre? No, Karine Jean-Pierre, crétin. Pourquoi tu l'appelles? Karine Jean-Pierre. Okay, anyway. Jean-Pierre was born in Fort de France, Martinique, France. Huh? Martinique, France? Yeah, Martin. Okay, sorry. This article is badly written. Okay. Jean-Pierre was born in Fort-de-France, Martinique, France. France is in there. The daughter of a Haitian immigrant. Of Haitian immigrants. Oh, okay. I guess she was born in Martinique, but was raised in France. I think that's what they're trying to say. And she's the daughter of Haitian immigrants. She has two younger siblings and was age 5 when her family relocated to Queens Village, a neighborhood in Queens, New York. Her mother worked as a home health aide and was active in her Pentecostal church, so Haitian, while her father was a taxi driver, so Haitian, who had trained as an engineer. Wow. Jean-Pierre was often responsible for caring for his siblings, 8 and 10 younger, because both parents worked 6 and 7 days a week. Wow! Holy shit, from Queens? Okay, I gotta read this. Okay. This was not in the plan, but fuck it. Jean-Pierre graduated from Kellenberg Memorial High School, a college preparatory school on Long Island in 1993. Damn, I'm old. Her parents wanted her to study medicine, so Haitian, and she studied life science at the New York Institute of Technology as a community student, but performed poorly on the medical college admission test. Changing her career tracks, she earned her bachelor's degree from the New York Institute of Technology in 1997. She earned a master's of public affairs from the School of International and Public Affairs of Columbia University in 2003, where she served as student government and decided to pursue politics. There we go. Holy fuck. I was trying to figure out how he went from all that shit to being a regular ass Haitian like the regular and ending up being the White House press secretary. Okay. So it's at Columbia University, public affairs. Okay. At Columbia University, one of her mentors was Esther Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S, whose class she attended during the fall of 2001 semester. She is fluent in English, French, and Creole. Bra, 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 what? Sac a fait, what? Okay, look, here's the thing. As a Haitian, it's really important for us. It's a thing of ours to always acknowledge anyone who's Haitian, especially who's like doing it, a success, who beat the odds. You know what I mean? Usually it's like, yeah, oh man, I had no idea. She sounds like a lot of my homegirls. That's what I'm bringing up here. Wow. That's impressive. Okay, let me play the clip that really got my attention, but I had no idea she was Haitian. Wait, how did I find out? Oh, yeah, because this asshole reporter asked her a question, but and she handled it very well. Okay, so here he goes.
But do you take this personally when the community is a target of attack as it is at the moment in Springfield?
I take it personally when any community, any vulnerable community,
right on,
is attacked.
Asa.
Not just a community that I belong to and proudly belong to, but any community, any vulnerable community that is attacked, wrongfully so, in a hateful way. One of the things that I'm proud about in being part of this administration is that we condemn that type of stuff. We condemn that type of hateful language. That's what I'm going to continue to do. And I get to do that on behalf of President Biden, who also condemns that type of hateful rhetoric, as you have heard him today and many times before, when a vulnerable community is attacked. That's not what national leaders should be. Political leaders should not be attacking vulnerable communities. That's not who we should be. And if they're going to fall for conspiracy theories online, maybe they shouldn't be our leaders. Maybe they shouldn't be. But it is on all of us. It doesn't matter if you're Haitian American, if it doesn't matter if you're Jewish American, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim American, all of us should come together. When we hear that type of hateful rhetoric, we should come together and have each other's backs,
yeah,
and call it out, because it's not okay. It is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It is dangerous. It puts people's lives at risk. And this president is going to continue to stand up and speak against it.
Are there any in-world
communities?
Thank you, Corinne. One last
time. It's not funny. I know
I'm
you want to make...
Wait
a minute. Hold on.
You're making
hold
a
on.
Distinction.
Wait. Hold on. It's not funny. I'm answering. Let me answer.
Are there any vulnerable communities?
Not everybody wants to hear the sound of your voice, sir. Give me a second, and I will tell you my answer. It's not funny. Patsy.
Thank you, Graham. Oh, man. She deserves a... Salute! Yeah, anyways, I love their answer, bottom line. This racism thing is a disservice to humanity. It reminds me of how growing up, a white kid would call someone the N-word, and all us black would get together. And the white people always looked at it as, that's a black people problem. That's their problem. Oh, shit! He said the N-word! What are you guys gonna do about it? Now is, I like the generation, a real friend would be like, he says the N-word. Basically, it's they diss you, they diss us mindset. When George Bush was going around talking about the China virus, I fucking knew that, yo, it's only a matter of time before they attack us. I forget that saying. But the point is, racism tries to put us in a situation where, hey, look, let black people have their own problem. White people have no problems. Let the Asians and South Asians, y'all split up. When the truth is, attack on one is attack on all. Anyway, I'm just saying, I just love the way she responded. And, reporters, this journalist, you would think they would have learned from... Basically, his question was, hey, did you take offense to him saying your people eat cats and dogs? As opposed to, hey, dude, that's kind of fucked up. I mean, let's acknowledge that's a fucked up thing to say. Like, lately I've been surprised at the white people who are like, that's fucked. Who acknowledged that's fucked? Okay, I say, but it's not that I'm surprised. It's more, I've looked at it as a sign of progress. The white people are like, that's a fucked up thing to say. As opposed to, hey, what are you Haitians going to do about it? And do any of your relatives, do you eat a cat? Maybe them, but what about you? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's an attack on humanity. There was this, I'm trying to remember this, there was a clip on TikTok. I forget the video. If I find it, I'll share it. But she was explaining, this woman was explaining how she was, this dude moved into her building and she showed him kindness. Just like I would do the same thing. Just said, hey, says hi to, she's like the friend, very friendly person. Showed this dude kindness. And the next time he sees this dude in the elevator, she's like, the next time he sees the dude in the elevator again, and he's like, hey, man, basically started to act like, yo, let's get a drink together. We'll basically harassed the girl. Like, he misinterpreted her kindness for, yo, I got a chance with this bitch. I use the word bitch as a way to, in his mind, he dehumanized. Instead of acknowledging the kindness, he's like, oh, I think I can bang this chick. And by the end of the video, this poor woman is like, what did I do wrong? She's blaming herself for this piece of shit. And I remember responding. I said, look, man, you did nothing wrong. I initially wrote, except, but I said, I changed. I said, you did nothing wrong, period. You expected a stranger to be a decent human being. And he failed us. When I heard that script, I wanted to say, like, man, men ain't shit. I was angry at dudes who like him. All she did was just show kind, and now she's like fucking scared to be in the elevator with this dude. This dude is making uncle. He's not understanding that. The story ends with her the way she was able to get rid of the guys. Her friends were at the floor, so she started to talk to them, and then he got the idea to, okay, I'm going to stop harassing the dude. But I'm just, it's like, mean people suck, bottom line. Mean people suck, that's all where I'm getting at, man. It's, yeah, man, I'm trying to rejoice or be happy of the progress we've made as a society, but it's like overshadowed by people like that asking, hey, how did you feel when he said about your people eating cats? And is there any truth to it? It's like, word. Anyways, yeah. All right, just to go back to the positive, shout out to Karen Jean-Pierre. All right, who I had no idea. Like, I knew there was a black woman who was a White House press secretary, but I just did not know. Wow. Born in Martinique. Man, there's some special people over there, ain't there? All right, okay. All right, gang. This concludes News and Random Thoughts. I'm going to jump to the final act and get us the fuck out of here, all right? Okay, let's do this. Ooh, Jesus Christ. Ooh, j'ai le démon dans moi. Okay. All right, guys. You know what? This does not have to be a long episode. Okay, what's up with today's title? Okay. First, let me explain. The title comes from the track. Excuse me. Both the title and the poetry recited at the beginning of the episode comes from the track The Third World by Immortal Technique. Oh, DJ Green Lantern. Okay, whatever. And yeah, and what I recited was the chorus for that song. Now, here's why I get into why. Okay, so this is what happened. I was listening to an episode of The Black Guy Who Tips, and for those who can't tell, I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and okay. Those familiar with the podcast know that, you know, like, you know, I can understand. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. Old me would say, yeah, you kind of dick right in their podcast, but anyways, yeah. Right, episode 2970, Jesus Christ, that's a lot of numbers. 2973. I'm in a fan since episode, I don't know, I started listening around 300-ish. All right, so now they're at 2,973. Captain Save a King. Anyway, great episode. But it's more at the beginning, it's what got my attention. They had a discussion about banter about violent revolutions. And you know what doesn't matter? Every time I listen to an episode of The Black Guy Who Tips, I always have a concept of a plan to write in. All this to say, I never write. I rarely write in. But this discussion made me want to write in just to jump into the conversation. That's how they do over there, man. They talk about things that every once in a while it makes you wish that you were in the room with them to be like, oh, and then you can share your point. And but in this particular one is the topic that really got my attention. It's been on my mind, and I can see myself writing the email, but I never got around to it. So instead of writing it, I'm going to share it with you. Is Rod on Twitter was answering a question. Somebody, I guess a general question was asked on Twitter that was, what is something that we romanticize, I think, as a society? Things that we romanticize. And then, is it romanticize or what do we, I feel like there's another word he used. Or it's like, I'm not sure if it was, but it was essentially like underestimate. Anyways. I'm going to go with romanticize. And he answered violent revolution. And you know, he just didn't give it any thoughts, let it go. And then, boom, he comes back and a shitload of responses to it. And a bunch of people, for the majority, just a bunch of people not taking his reply, his answer, not giving it the seriousness it deserves. And for me, it triggered me because it reminded me of growing up here. Again, I live in Canada, right? And I feel like there's a different version of romance. Like there's a different kind of romanticizing violent revolutions. And it just makes me laugh. The people, anyway. And you would think with all the immigrants in this country, these white kids would take the time to listen to people who fled countries that had violent revolutions. And it made me think of how growing up, something my mom would always tell me and never made sense until I became an adult. And she said, and I'll say it in French, then translate it, she goes, "Tu connais pas la misère." In English, the word-for-word translation is you don't know misery or you don't know what it is to be miserable. But I think the thought that was she was trying to communicate or she was actually communicating, and again, I only realized this when I became an adult, because as a child, I was like, what do you mean I don't know misery? I'm the one I'm missing an episode of Different Strokes because of these fucking homers. What do you mean I don't know misery? You know, I didn't get it. It's only when I became an adult, started paying bills for myself, started paying taxes, started understanding what it means to be an adult, what it means to take care of yourself, what it means to be part of a functioning society. Well, I say functioning society, but a somewhat working, functioning government. That I realized what she was actually saying is, bro, you're Kool-Aid heart pumping ass don't know how good you fucking got it. Like, it's only when I realize how my privilege growing up in Canada, Ottawa specifically, I was in an Uber and talked to Uber people, just can't stop myself. I'll say silent, but you know, but for some reason I can't, whatever. Anyways, talking to Uber, the dude with this homeboy was from Iran, and he was explaining how, I don't know how we got in this conversation, but whatever. He's explaining how homeboy had like a regular ass public service job, working in the government, you know, probably just like me, dude, just minding his business, raising his kids and shit like that. Now, we didn't go into details, but he knew that, shit's about to go down, so he knew he had to leave the country. Where I'm going with this is I'm thinking about all the unserious responses Rod got, and I'm thinking of every kid I grew up with and who didn't understand, like who would complain about some foreigner who's in this country and can't speak the language. And not knowing, not taking the time to understand their story, not knowing their story, pretty much. It's okay. Violent revolutions ain't no joke, guys. Look, okay. When it's, you know, it's what I'm about to say, something that the people who like to be violent, shit, they don't think about. And I guess people like me who aren't violent but have all the time to think about that shit. But I know violent revolutions ain't no joke. Now, I am not going to preach to you about not getting into violent revolutions. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying is when you pull that fucking trigger, it's not a joke. I remember when he occupied our downtown, the truckers occupied our downtown in Ottawa. And these assholes were acting, these Canadian motherfuckers were acting like, you know, this is a revolution. It's like, you don't want it to degrade to a violent revolution. We got it good here. We got a functioning government. Our problems ain't bad enough to be like, we want a violent revolution. It ain't enough to like, yeah, Trudeau, we need you to get the fuck out. It ain't that bad. It ain't to that point. And the thing is, you got this democracy thing going on where if you don't like who's in charge, you can vote. Now, granted, it's going to suck if you're the one person who doesn't like the person in charge. But I'm saying violent revolutions ain't no joke. Now, I've never lived through a violent revolution. But I know enough about history to be like, I don't want to be part of one. Or take that conversation fucking seriously. You know, it bothers me people who say shit about like voting doesn't matter or I don't vote. And my theory is, look, if you're not about the ballot, you better be about the bullet. And being I'm not the fighter type, I'm about the ballot. And Okay. I'm thinking of the email that I'm trying to write in about how much I appreciated Rod's point about violent revolutions. And I'm not sure if I can add to what he says, but I know my first thought was, you should, to the people who think violent revolution is like, hey, like that shit will be televised. It's like, hey, 30 minutes, wrap it up. You can fit it into a TV show. Talk to the people whose family have escaped violent revolution, who escaped country because some asshole was like, you know what? I think I still want to be in charge. Yeah, fuck that. Mother, fuck the election results. I'm still sticking around. Okay, then. Violent revolutions. My point is that shit is not a fucking joke, kids. It's up there with I was going to use the analogy of the last time I was in a club. Not the last time, but this one time I was in a club. No, actually, I was at a block party, a picnic. Might have been outside, whatever. And some dude, straight grinding, everybody having fun. It was cool till a fool pulled a loaded gun. Someone shot a gun in the park. And I still remember the chaos, the people running away in one direction, one lady with her stroller because they heard the gun, and everyone running away from the... I was running away too, but I'm, you know, I see black people running, I'm running too. But my point is, when violent revolutions break out, you're getting the fuck out. And that's how you end up in refugee camps because you're trying to escape the violence. And next thing you know, you're moving to a country where you don't speak the language. Like, imagine yourself. Violent revolution. Imagine the fucking convoy, mother dumbass, had their way. Imagine, thank God they weren't organized. But imagine they had their way. It's like, yeah, nah, we're going to war with the government. I mean, a bunch of truckers. Nice try, buddy. But if it was like that, Fuck. We only got one border. I tell you one thing. I'm not going north. I'm not heading to Russia. Fuck that shit. I'm going to die here. So we're all heading towards the American border. They're not letting Mexicans in. They're not going to let us in. I mean, I don't know. What it's like, wait, what do you do, Blackie? I mean, we'll let you in their country, but hope you like cleaning toilets. Hope you like, because they don't have latrines. I mean, but you're getting a shitty job. You're like, oh, that's nice. Oh, you got a degree. You're an engineer. Yeah, toilet cleaning. You're working at McDonald's. Only point I'm trying to make is violent revolution ain't no joke. And the reason why I picked Third World Niche is because I remember while Rod was speaking, it had me thinking about the song Third World, how all of us escaped, or some of us escaped. Like, I try to have a conversation with my parents about why they left Haiti. And well, we don't see the world the same way. I mean, but they don't go into details, but they just let me know, though, from what I can gather, it was like a shared understanding in the community that ain't shit. Like, these grown, like, they were young adults, but they knew their future. They had a very limited future where they were. That was the shared understanding of the community. So they chose to come here and start off because they wanted families. And they wanted their kids to go to a better school. They wanted a kid to have a better future than they could have. Their parents could give them. But we don't think about, like, these immigrants who come to this country. A lot of folks don't have the ability to empathize with these people. They're leaving their home. I remember the closest thing, it's not even close, but I remember I spent some time, I moved to the United States, worked there in the United States, spent 2 years there. And I remember trying to convince my journey to the United States to the same journey as my parents leaving Haiti to come to Canada. And when I was there, I remember towards a certain point, maybe, I don't know, the job wasn't that satisfying. The money was great, but I remember feeling homesick as fuck, wanting to go back home. Yeah, go figure, eh? I bitch about Ottawa, but there was a time in my life where I was like, I want to go back home. I want to go back to Ottawa. Anyways, yeah, so I remember feeling that homesickness and when I came back, and I was like, did you not feel homesick? I guess because their home wasn't. A lot of people come to this country, who immigrate to this country, they have that homesickness. Even though the life they left is no longer around, but they're still grieving. There's still that loss. And people forget that shit. People don't think about that kind of stuff. These immigrants that come to our country. Some of them did not want to come. They had no fucking choice but to come. I think if the huge takeaway of what I'm trying to say is be kind to each other. But also, like, the person speaking three languages, or the person who are, like, speaking broken English, speaks other language, you dumb motherfucker. Acting like it could, like, wow. I'm trying to imagine living in a different country, trying to learn their language. I keep thinking China, but, you know, it could be anywhere in the world. Japan, whatever. Fuck. Hold on. How do you say? Hey, you see? I know they speak Mandarin. There's a shitload of languages in China. Me learning a new language? I'm fucked. It wouldn't happen. It would not happen. I think I admire, look, man, the people who come to this country, immigrate here, deserve more respect than they're actually given. Especially people who come from countries that the country we live in fucked them up in the first place, had a hand in making the country in the condition that it is right now. I don't know. I think this is, I feel like crying right now. It's What are you going to do, B? That's the world we live in, man. That's the world we live in. Which finally brings me back to the quote that I recited at the beginning of the episode. Where'd it go? The one about capitalism. And it goes, capitalism is a uniquely innovative economic and political system because it takes the worst traits of humanity and reflects them back as virtues. Sociopathic behavior is rewarded. Empathy is punished. It reminds me of there was a time in my life where I was feeling like I was not meant to live in this cruel, cold world. Only to realize, no, the world does need people who feel empathy. It's not the world that sucks. It's the world that we built. Which also reminds me, is the resentment that I have towards man. I should say men, but man. And I understand the sentiment of, you know what? This world would be a better place if we let women run things. I'm willing to see it because the world that we created, actually the world that men created rewards, like it says, shitty traits like hiding the fact that you're a shitty human being, shitty traits like the fact that you take pleasure in being shitty to other people. Like, we got a whole bunch of world leaders who mask around like they're Jesus reincarnated, but deep down inside, they're like fucked up. Hey, by the way, I'm getting close to finishing the book. What's it called? About Jim Jones. And hold on a second. It's called The Road to Jonestown, Jim Jones and People Temple. And spoiler alert, this guy was an asshole. Holy fuck. There's a lot of traits that I'm seeing in Jim Jones and his followers that I'm seeing in Trump and MAGA and their followers. Yeah, I'm just saying it's, yeah, this world, we act like we're one thing. We have an image of ourselves as humans, but we don't live up to that image. We're completely different. Anyways, again, getting back to the point that I was trying to make about Rod's point is, yeah, I agree with his notion that violent revolution is something that we romanticize, like war. And it's unfortunate that, my magic wand, I would, like, teach everyone, I'd force people, everyone to learn history. To the point where they're like, you know what, let's try to resolve this shit peacefully. Imagine that. I say that, like, you know, this is me being, you know, I like to buy the world a Coke. But I think some people just love, fuck that, I love the scrap. Fuck that shit. My guy didn't win the election? All right, revolution. Anyways, whatever, man. Shout out to the people who have managed to keep us out of another world war. I don't have a point. I'm just going to leave it at that. All right. So this concludes. I'm going to wrap this up. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Thanks you for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. Excuse me. As much as I enjoyed recording it. If you want to holler at me, my website is shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time. Because someone back there wasn't paying attention. Was on their phone. I said shutuppodcast.com. The power of three, kids. Your email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. And yeah, man, I'd like to hear some feedback. You share some thought, you know. Again, shout out to anyone out there who listens to this to this podcast and has a concept to write in, the concept of an email to write in. I get it. I struggle with that shit too. So yeah, I'm going to hang on to the faith that one day you'll find the energy, you'll find what it takes to write the message, spell check it. I say spell check it because you're probably a perfectionist, and you probably don't want to. You know, I don't want to offend you, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I want to hurt your feelings. So I want to do this, whatever. I know. I'm looking forward to the day that we connect. So with that said, thank you for listening. And as always, please remember, Picard to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.